Well, good morning. You guys doing all right? Excellent. I am as well, I think. This is the first time I've ever spoken at the feast. I didn't know Mr. Kubik was going to be here. I did see a Mr. Waterhouse. I don't know where I saw that, but it actually gave me nightmares. Because I went back to when I was a kid and I remember 3-hour sermons. And my dad would look at me and he would be like, "Listen." I was like, okay, it's only been 2 hours. I don't even know what we're doing here anymore. So my wife and I are here. We have 6 kids, 5 of them with us. It's awesome. It's great to be here. We're from Dallas. I believe there's, 500 people here? 600 are from Texas? So we originally hail from Kansas. That's really, we really feel like we're more from Kansas, but we've lived in Dallas now for about 6 years, I guess. So I guess we have to call ourselves Texans. So today I want to speak about something. I read a book a while back. Anybody ever heard of the author Patrick Lencioni? Good. So this will be new for you. He wrote a book called The Ideal Team Player, and it got me thinking. He had 3 virtues in that book. And I want to talk about it. If you want to title the message, you could title it Humble, Hungry, Smart Christian. Those are the 3 virtues that I want to talk about in our hour here. I'm kidding. I know it's 15 minutes. But it just got me thinking about how God actually needs us to be an ideal team player for Him. For Him to be able to use us in a way that we maybe not even fully understand yet. I was meeting with a gentleman yesterday, and we were just talking about what is our real purpose. And sometimes we don't know that. We don't know exactly how God is going to use us. And that's why we continue to read and study and pray and meditate and work towards something that only God knows we can become. So the first point, if you want to take it as a point, I want to list it as a virtue, is humility. How are we to be humble? Well, a humble person is lacking in an excessive ego. There's another really good book that I've read called Ego is the Enemy. If you're humble, you're not concerned with status. I'm going to be really candid with you. I used to like to speak, and I wanted to speak all the time because I thought, I'm this gifted speaker and God could use me. And I'm just being open with you guys because I think that's honestly how we learn. And I thought, man, if I could just speak more, if I could do this, if I could do that, people would recognize me. They would think something of me because I'm up there and I'm speaking. And now I'm like, I don't think that's what God wants of me. And it's humbling for me to admit that. But I think that we need to bear ourselves sometimes so we all understand what we struggle with. When you're humble, you're quick to look at what others contribute. You're quick to think of how others help, how others are better than you. You know, C.S. Lewis said it really well. Being humble, it's not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. And that's what I struggle with. I've always been that funny guy. I like to dance. I like to be the center of attention. And it's always been hard for me to kind of balance that. Because people are like, oh, go do this or go do that. My dad at the teen dances when I was a kid. Get out there and do that. And I'm like, Dad, there's nobody dancing. And I don't know if you know this, it's a band and they're playing country music. And you can't break dance to that kind of music. Oh, just go, it'll be fine. And so I've always struggled with that balance of humility. But if you turn to 1 Peter 1, and I am a fully electronic man. I didn't intend to be, but the printer wasn't printing. I work in IT. Not a day goes by that I'm like, I really don't like computers. I don't even know what this thing is doing. So 1 Peter 5, and you can read verse 6. Humble yourselves then under God's mighty hand, so that he will lift you up in his own good time. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And that is what we have to remember. You don't need to turn there, but you can reference Micah 6, verse 8. We are to walk humbly with God. We are to walk humbly with God. You see, what you have to do, what I have to do, is assess myself. I have to know what my strengths are, and I have to know what my weaknesses are. I have to push the weaknesses down and not let them overcome me, and I have to let the strengths shine. There is nothing wrong that I like to speak, but if that's all I do, if all I do is listen to respond and not listen to understand, now I'm on the wrong path. We know from God's word that he resists the proud and he gives grace to the humble. How can we know that we are living in humility and ready to receive God's blessing when humility is first and foremost in our mind? We remove the pride. We remove the arrogance. The main characteristic that should be seen in us is Christ's character. We should embody him. It's funny, I Googled humble people in the Bible. It listed David, it listed Solomon, it listed Joshua, and I'm thinking, what about Christ? That is the ultimate example of humility. Proverbs is filled with warnings of those who refuse to be humble. The New Testament is full of blessings for those who put others before themselves. You will miss out on the blessed, abundant life that God wants for you if you refuse to let go of pride and if you refuse to follow his purpose. You see, that's why we keep these holy days. It isn't because we are some special person that has some special abilities. It's because God sees something in us. And so he calls us together each year to share that, to learn to grow, so that when we leave here, we become more. Maybe you could say we become less to become more. Turn to Colossians 3, verse 2. Colossians 3, verse 2. Keep your minds fixed on things there, not on things here. I read that scripture and it's really good, but that's not what I wanted. I wanted verse 12. You are the people of God. He loved you and he chose you for his own. So then you must clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You know, remember this, as we think about just humility, the razor blade is sharp, but can't cut a tree. The axe is strong, but it can't cut the hair. Everyone is important according to his or her own unique purpose. Never look down on anyone unless you're admiring their shoes. That was Zig Ziglar. So that's humility. We have to be humble. We have to be hungry. Hungry. Hungry people are always looking for more. Not more wealth, not more possessions, but more as an individual. More things to do, more ways to serve, more compassion, more understanding, more of everything that God wants. They are self-motivated. They are diligent. They put forth an effort. They don't just come to the feast to go have some piña coladas and be on the beach. They come to learn to become what God wants them to be. They're hungry all the time. They're on fire all the time. I grew up in the church and I really, really have to admit that I struggle with having that fire because I felt like I was spoon-fed, like I'm on the coattails of my parents. But this is my church. This is my way of life. And it's got to be that all the time, not just when things are good. I've always got to be striving. It is so easy to get off the wrong path. Satan knows that. He knows that. You have to be constantly thinking about the next step, the next opportunity. How do I change? How do I grow? How do I become who God needs me to be? That's what I have to tell myself. It isn't who do I want to be, it's who does God need me to be. Without constant activity, the threats of life will soon overwhelm the values. Look at our value system as a world today. It's tanking. What used to be wrong is now right. If you don't understand what God says is right, you'll fall. You young people, you'll struggle with that. I did. I'm 44 years old. I still struggle. I'm like, yeah, let me just justify this just a little bit. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2. You can note that one. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, we must always be thirsting for God's word as newborn babies thirst for milk. There's a lady sitting in the back and she has a little baby. I think he's 2 months old. And it was just awesome to see that connection. And he just wanted his mom. We have to thirst for God's way of life, for that milk like a newborn baby all the time. Meditate, pray, study, put God first all the time. You can turn to Matthew 5 verse 6. Matthew 5 and verse 6. Happy are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires. God will satisfy them fully. We are happy when we desire to live God's way of life. Read that Bible, study, meditate on it. That's how you find your purpose. And then stay focused on it. So smart. So you have humble, you have hungry, and you have smart. Not book smart. Not knowledge smart as in, oh, I know everything about the Bible. I can judge you left and right. You're doing this wrong. You're doing that wrong. Like the Pharisees. Psh, look at this. He's picking wheat out in the field. That's a sin. Because I've read the Bible and I know it inside and out. I can quote all these scriptures and I can say this and I can say that. There are a lot of men and women that are much more scholarly than me about the Bible. But I don't know that they're living God's way of life. That's what my concern is. What I'm talking about is being smart with people. Smart in your dealings with people. Understanding when you've said something wrong. And not just shutting down and being like, oh, well, they're too sensitive. I just say it like it is. Those are the things that you have to push aside. I'm talking about being smart where you understand others. You empathize. You feel their pain. We're never going to be presented with the ideal person. We will be presented with challenges. That is how God helps you grow. If we're only prepared to deal with the people that think like us, we're setting ourselves up for failure. What are we going to do in the kingdom? I've said this so many times. We're not here to prepare so that we can just go to the kingdom and, you know, then, I don't know, just hang out and be like, hey, what's up? We're going to try and help others, to sit and put our arms around them and say, hey, I've been there. I get emotional about it because sometimes I don't understand why I've gone through the things that I have. But I'm working so that I can be there in God's kingdom and I can put my arms around somebody and I can say, I understand. This is what God wants. This is what God needs. He doesn't need you to know every single thing down to the minute detail. He needs you to know how to live every single detail and be that person that he needs you to be. He needs you to understand others. He needs you to know that people are different. We are not created equal, but we are all the same. We're struggling through this life. You can turn to 1 Peter 3. Actually, just reference it. I don't want to take away from the sermon's time, and I still have 9 pages. I'm kidding. But you can reference 1 Peter 3, verses 8 through 12. And you can also reference Romans 12 and verse 18, because it says, live peaceably among men. Remember to take a step back sometimes and realize you may be wrong or you may be right. But just take a step back and say, you know what? I'm just going to try to help this person. We all have struggles, brethren. Different levels, different areas. You know, it's hard to understand sometimes. It's hard to be humble. It's hard to stay motivated and push through. It's hard to treat people the right way, to understand in all situations that our words and our actions convey something. We have to put God first. Life is a battle. It's a battle against Satan. It's a battle against ourselves. Les Brown said it best, and I'm going to try to embody his power. Anybody heard of Les Brown? He said, life is a fight for territory. And when you stop fighting for what you want, what you don't want will take over. We have to fight the good fight. We have to finish the race. We have to persevere and push through. If we're looking for the easy path, being candid, this isn't for us. I don't know what's next for you. I don't know what's next for me. But I do know that I want to live God's way of life. I do know that I want to be humble. I do know that I want to stay hungry. And I do know that I want to treat people the way God wants me to treat them. We have an opportunity to be the elect. But that doesn't mean it doesn't come without a price. In order to be a part of this calling, we have to be willing to put others before ourselves. A servant to all. You have to push yourself and you have to stay hungry. Satan wants you to fail, and he will stop at nothing. Leave here knowing you will work to become that humble individual that puts others above themselves. Leave here knowing you will push yourself to stay hungry. You will leave here being driven. You will leave here being on fire, and you're not going to let it falter. You're not going to let that flame burn out. Maybe it will diminish a little bit, but you know that you can get back into the Bible and raise that back up. Leave here full of desire and striving to become that person that God wants you and needs you to be. Always, always remain humble. Always, always remain hungry, and always remain smart.